Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. The Lord is faithful. Hallelujah. Been to the mountains, been in the valleys. The Lord is faithful. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this great privilege you've given us to be here in this place, in your presence at this time. We thank you, my Lord Jesus, that your glory fills this place. We pray that you have your way here. Lord God, let your counsel, O Lord Jesus Christ, be delivered through the portal of this man, Lord God. I stand before you, my Lord Jesus Christ. We ask you for your goodness, for your grace to accompany us. Minister to every soul that's here. Let your word go forth and heal. Let it go forth and make a difference, O Lord God, in the life of each and everyone that's here tonight, O Lord God. Minister to us, O Lord God. We ask you this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's give God the glory. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I thank the Lord for what he's been doing. You may be seated. What he's been doing in our lives and what he's been doing in every place. Thank the Lord for the ministry, for Pastor Sapp, Pastor and his wife, and the ministry here. I give honor to everyone that's here tonight. I'm just going to be talking to you a little bit. I feel like that's what the Lord put in my heart. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 12, verses 14 through 16, and then we'll move forward. I'm really bad at giving scriptures, so I forgot to give the scriptures. Hebrews chapter 12, 14 through 16, and then we'll skip ahead to 1 Peter 1, 14 through 16. Amen. It says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. 1 Peter 1, 14 through 16. It says this, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he which have called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Praise the Lord. I'm not going to speak on holiness standard or anything like that. I'm just going to talk a little bit on this idea of holiness. Praise the Lord. It says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. So I think it's quite important. The Bible says, without which no man shall see the Lord. And it says, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. There are some that says you cannot lose your salvation, but the scripture does mention that you could fail, as if you fail a test. Lest any root of bitterness springing up, and it says, trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Lest there be any fornicator. And this word fornicator is just talking about not just, you know, not a person that goes out and you know, have sexual relationship outside of marriage, but in a spiritual sense, any relationship outside of God, or profane person as Esau, anyone that has just given up their birthright for anything else, God says to beware. God is good. God is great. God is kind. God is true. God is merciful. God is great grace. God is graceful. God is awesome. He's gracious. He's compassionate. He's long-suffering. He's almighty. He's omnipotent. He's just. And the list goes on. There's many things that God is, and we describe him by all these things. God is good. We always say that God is good. But in the book of Revelation, we see a procession of worship that happens, the scripture says, round about the throne of God. And it went on this way. The four beasts, the Bible says, they're in the midst of the throne and round about the throne of God. The scripture says that they make a declaration. They said, holy. They didn't worship. They made a declaration. They said, holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Lord God Almighty. And as they made this declaration, the Bible says the 24 elders began a procession of worship. They came from their seats and they fell down on their faces. And they began to declare, you are worthy. Now, first thing I want us to pay attention to is a declaration was made of the character of God. The character of God was the very first thing. They did not worship God, but they made a declaration about the character of God. Bible says they said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord. And in response to his character, the 24 elders, the scripture say, they fell down and they say, you are worthy. Because of his holiness, he is worthy to receive glory, to receive honor, and to receive praise, and so on and so forth. So holiness was the description of the character of God. More so than worship, it was a declaration that was made to the elders, and the elders, in response, they worshiped God. Praise God. I want to make a statement. Our character and our disposition takes precedent over everything we can be or everything we can do in the kingdom of God. The character of God is holy. Holiness, as it pertains to God, it means holy or totally other. God is holy or totally other. That's why the scripture says in the book of Isaiah, my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are my ways your ways. It's just like the heavens are so much higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and your thought, and my thoughts than your thoughts. We think of God as supreme. The Bible refers to God as being the most high. Meaning he's without compare. The Bible doesn't call him higher, but he says he's the most high. He's superlative in value or in worth or in highness. Bible calls him almighty, not mightier, but he's almighty. So he's totally other in his description. And holiness also, as it refers to God, means purity in every sense of the word. So holiness means totally other, and it also means purity in every sense of the word. The Bible says there's no variableness with God. There's no shadow of turning with God. There's no bitterness in God. God does not hold grudges against anyone, not even the people that slayed him or that crucified him. He has no grudge in him. There's no jealousy in him. There's no offense in God. Bible calls him undefiled. He's a high priest that is separated from sinners, according to Hebrews 7:26. He's holy. He's separated from sinners. He's undefiled. These are the characters of God. But holiness, as it pertains to us, means something a little different, although there is a merge in there, but it means something a little different. It means to be set apart or dedicated to God. It means consecrated or devoted to God. And now the Bible says of this, without this, no man can see God. Holiness is the theme of the scripture. Person say, well, love is. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life. But God loves everyone, but not everyone is saved. So the love of God does not save us as much as our holiness, which is our response, really, to his love. Holiness is not a new theme. From the Garden of Eden, God made men and Eve and Adam and made a garden. And he said, you could eat of everything that is in the garden. You can enjoy everything that I have created for you. But he says, but of this tree of good and evil, you cannot eat. That's holiness. There are certain things that are permitted. There are certain things you can do. There are many things you can do. But there are some things you can never do. And I'm not going to stay here. We'll just proceed. Many a time we understand holiness as a certain work that I do that makes me holy, or a certain thing that I do that makes me holy. The Bible doesn't teach that. Noah was a holy man. Why was Noah holy? Because Noah was separated. Noah was consecrated. Just stay with me. I'm not preaching against our doctrine or against what pastor preaches. Noah was holy in his generation. The Bible calls him a preacher of righteousness. A person say, well, Noah was not holy. Abraham was holy because there are two things that happen in holiness. There is a separation, and then there is a consecration, and this kind of played out in the life of Noah. God called Noah from whatever it is that Noah was doing, and God made Noah consecrated to one purpose. That was for Noah to spend all his days building this thing and then go into it, because that was the counsel of God for Noah. Abraham was a holy man. God called Abraham from his people. That's separation. And then he says to go in. Holiness calls you out and it's bringing you in somewhere. Holiness doesn't bring you out and then you just stay somewhere in neutral place or where you don't do anything or be anything. But it calls you out from one thing to consecrate to another thing. Joseph was a separated man. He was separated from his brothers. He was separated from his father's house, but to fulfill the purpose of God in Egypt. And from Joseph came out the children of Israel in Egypt. Praise God. God wanted a people, and he created a people under slavery. The people were able to be united because they were all suffering the same sufferings. They were all going under the same trials. It just works that way. It seems as though trials has a way of uniting people. So they became a people, and God wanted a people that's holy unto him. What did he do? He called them out of Egypt. Just stay with me for a minute. He separated them from the Egyptians. He took them to the Red Sea. We say this is baptism. They were baptized unto Moses, the scripture says, in the Red Sea. They went through baptism, and the Spirit of the Lord hovered over Israel. It was like the Holy Ghost. And that's what we teach it as being. But the scriptures I'm going to read for you here is in Exodus chapter 19, 4 through 6. Exodus 19, 4 through 6. Says, you have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you up on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. So God separated Israel. Now, therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. Now, God separated Israel as a holy people. He made them holy. There's a twofold complex. There's a point where God calls us out. But then there's a point where we separate ourselves. We say, okay, God created and he calls me holy. Now I want to be holy unto God. So what God did, God took him out. God says, you know what? You're special people. I want to take you out of the midst of these people. And now he meets with them on the mountain of God. And now he gives them a law. He says, if you do everything that I say in this law, you're going to be a holy people. You're going to be a separate people. You're going to be separated unto God. You're going to be a kingdom of priests. Now, a person says, what was their holiness based on? Their holiness was based on separation. Their holiness was based on obedience to the word of God. They were separated from Egypt. That was the one fold. But the second fold of holiness was going to be their work. It was going to be their contribution unto the call or the works of God. A person said, are you working yourself to be holy? No. And we're going to touch on that a little bit. Jesus made a statement in the New Testament. He says, to deny ourselves, he made two statements. Deny yourself and take up your cross and follow me. That's holiness in a nutshell. You separate yourself, you deny yourself from your own pleasures, from your own lust, from your own desires, from your own ambitions. And then he says to take up your cross. So you separate yourself, and now you're going to do the will of God. You're going to be consecrated for the purpose of God. Now, a lot of time, some people feel like, okay, I'm holier than so-and-so, or our standard is holier than so-and-so. There are standards of holiness, but standards does not make you holy. I said Abraham was holy. A person said, well, that's not true. He was holy. The Bible says that every firstborn male that breaks the metrics is holy. Well, is it that they have no sin? Is it because that they're better than the rest of the kids? That's what made them holy. He says the priest will have a writing on the mitre, and it will say holiness to the Lord. Well, is it that the priest doesn't do anything wrong? Is it because the priest is just better than the rest of the people, and somehow he becomes holy because of the way he has no sin. He doesn't do anything wrong. Therefore, he is holy. God gave Moses an instruction to build a tabernacle. Everything that was in the tabernacle was holy. The oil was holy. The garment was holy. The utensils that they used in the tabernacle was holy. Everything that was part of this tabernacle was holy. Because at one point, it was just oil. And then after that, it was dedicated unto God. When it's dedicated to God, it becomes holy. Holiness is a disposition, is a covenanted disposition to be wholly consecrated to God. The oil was just oil, but one day it was consecrated for the service of God. The utensils were just utensils, but one day they become consecrated. Well, a person says, is it because the utensil had no sin? Is it because the oil had no sin that they were holy? They were holy because they were consecrated. And that's why we read in the book of Daniel, whenever the king Belshazzar, he took the holy vessels and he began to drink from it. And they began to have a great party. And that was when that hand came and began to write on the wall, because God claimed the vessel for himself because it was dedicated unto God. So a person says, well, what does all of this has to do with follow peace with all men and holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. I would want to know, because it says without holiness, no man can see God. Well, some would argue it's because you do certain things a certain way. You wear your clothes this way. I wear this thing. You wear that thing. And that makes me holy. And this doesn't make you holy. And so on and so forth. And the discussion can go on and on. Holiness is more important than our clothing. Well, a person will say, I agree. That's not new. We know that. And we do know that. Holiness is more important than where you go or where you don't go. And then so on and so forth. Holiness is the character of God. And holiness is the call of God for us to separate and to consecrate ourselves unto God. This is heavier than wearing a short pants or a long skirt or a short skirt. It's a call for your whole heart. It's a call for our whole being to become separated for the service of God. Let me ask you a question. If God called Noah out, let's say God called Noah out, and God says to Noah, I want you to build this ark, and I want you to spend whatever, 150 years, whatever, how long it took him to build that ark. Now imagine Noah was a good person. Imagine Noah did everything that was in the law. And Noah said, you know what? I'm not going to build this ark. Would Noah be holy? Would Noah be pure? Because holiness means pure. Would he be pure? Would he be obedient? Let's say what God called Abraham, and Abraham said, you know what? I'm going to leave my people. I'm going to do the separation. But as far as this going in thing and to kill my son and to do all these things, I'm not willing to do that. Will he be holy? Because God called Israel and he brought them to the mountain into a place where they make a covenant. A covenant is a contract. After God spoke all the law to Moses, what he did was he told Moses, okay, this is my law. And Moses came to the people. The people said to God, whatever God says, we are willing to do. And after they did that, Moses killed an oxen. What he did was he took the blood. He says, this is the blood of your covenant. And he sprinkled the altar where they burnt the sacrifice. And what he did was he sprinkled the people with the blood. He says, you have just entered into a covenant with God to be a holy people, to be a separated people, to be a consecrated people unto God. Your purpose is no longer going to be what you do for yourself. Your purpose is no longer going to be, what am I going to do with my future? Your purpose is going to be from now on, what are you going to do? What God is willing for me to do? What God wants me to do? Where does he want me to go? Who does he want me to marry? Where does he want me? What does he want me to do? I am holy unto God. It means to be wholly consecrated for the purpose of God. It's not by mistake that God says, lest there be any fornicator. A fornicator is a person that goes outside the rightful way of doing things. He says, lest there be any fornicator. Lest there is a person that feels like they may be able to have an emotional relationship with God. And they might be able to go around the laws of God. They might be able to go around what God has ordained for us to do. And they might still have the same pleasure. Because that's what fornication is. You go outside the rightful way, and then you expect to receive the same pleasure. God says, lest there be any fornicator. He says, lest there be any profane person. A profane person is a person like Esau, the scripture says, who gave his birthright. God says, lest you abort our birthright for something that is worthless. And he's talking about holiness. He's saying, lest a person abort their birthright
for the pleasure at the moment, for the momentary pleasure, or for the job, or for the business, or for the car, or for this relationship. Lest we do any of these things like Esau, and he says, and he would want to have it, the birthright again, and he could not have it. Holiness is a disposition. Holiness is a posture. It's a resolution that we make in our mind. It's a resolution. We have come to this resolution. And what it is you are holy when God calls you. Because Abraham, with the knowledge that he had, he was holy. Because he was separated unto God. He was holy. He was holy not because he didn't do anything wrong, but God called him according to the knowledge that he had. He separated himself from his family. God says, let go of Ishmael. He said, you know what? I'm going to do that. And God says, I want you to slay your son. And he was willing to do it because he had a disposition to do whatever it is that God called him to do. And this is holiness. That's holiness. So that's the disposition that we have in ourselves to do the will of God. And Jesus was not saying anything different from the standard or from the law that was written. He says, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. When he called Abraham, he said, deny yourself. Come and follow me. He says, I'm going to take you to a place that I will tell you. You see, holiness is a disposition because you do not always know what it's going to ask of you. He didn't tell Abraham where I'm going to take you, what I'm going to do. He says, come and go with me to the place where I will show you. But Abraham had a disposition. He had a resolution. I'm going to do whatever. I'm wholly consecrated unto the purpose of God. And wherever he leads me, whatever he wants me to do, I already have a resolution. I'm ready to do it. That's the kingdom. We talked about that a little bit. We pray. We say, let your kingdom come. That means let God be God. There's a classic in the New Testament about John the Baptist. John the Baptist, the scripture says he was born of Elizabeth, and he grew up in the wilderness, and he was eating locusts and honey, and he had his girdle on, and pretty much John the Baptist gave everything. He gave his youth, he gave his, you know, his childhood, and he just grew up in the wilderness doing the will of God, being with God. And there came a point John the Baptist was in prison, and Jesus was out there, you know, just healing people and doing all kinds of stuff. And John the Baptist sent him and said, what's going on? He says, what's going on? I've been through all these things. I grew up in the wilderness. I had no friends and nobody knew me. And I ate locusts and honey and I had this girdle thing on me. And now here you are. I made the way for you and here you are. And here I am. And you don't even say hello. You don't even send somebody to me. He says, what's going on? Jesus said, send to John the Baptist. And then he showed him some signs. And he says, go tell John, the blind see, the deaf they hear, and the dumb they speak. And then he said one more thing. He said, blessed is he who's not offended because of me. Because the call of holiness may require your life. There's a classic in the book of 1 Samuel. God sent Saul. And God said to Saul, I want you to go and destroy the Amalekites. And the scripture says that Saul actually went. Saul went where God said to go. He says, destroy all of them, all their kids and all the animals and everything, because they were accursed. That means it's dedicated to be destroyed. something that's accursed. Saul went. So he separated and he went where God told him to go. And he actually did some work. He destroyed quite a few stuff. He destroyed quite a bit of stuff. And then he came back and he was, you know, he convinced himself, I'm doing the will of God. I'm obedient. I'm holy unto the Lord. And the prophet is coming. And once you do one thing, you're going to do two. I promise you. Because Bible says, leave no room to the devil. Give no room to the devil. If you're going to do one thing, you're going to do two, you're going to do three, and you're going to do four and five. So Saul left alive these cattle, and the prophet says, I'm coming. Well, he says, the prophet is lingering. I'm going to make a sacrifice myself. So he did that also, which was against the will of God. And the prophet came and he began to hear those bleeding of the sheep in the back, you know, in the back. But Saul came to Samuel and says, I've done everything you've called me to do, my Lord. And Samuel said, what about those bleeding of the sheep? Because there's always symptoms. There's always symptoms. And there are people that will know them. They will see them. There are symptoms. So God said to Samuel, I have rejected Saul because he turned from following me. You mean that's serious? He just didn't kill some stuff. God says, because he turned from following me, as far as God is concerned, he's no longer innocent. He's no longer holy. He's no longer consecrated to my purpose. Because right now he's working out his own purpose. And at the end, we understood that he was working out his own purpose, because when Samuel began to press him, he said, the people made me do it. He said, the people wanted to bring some of these. And so he made up a big story in his mind. He literally deceived himself. And it's no question that God says, in the last days, there people will stand and say, have we not done this and that and the other? And that's why at the onset of the teaching, we said that character takes precedent over position or status. It takes precedent over our work. It takes precedent over who's your friend, who's not your friend, how much money, how good, how great you look, and so on and so forth. Because what we have of God is God's word. If we're going to honor God, the only way we can do that is honor his word. None of us here have seen God, and we have not walked with him and became his friend and have a way with him outside of his word. You see, Jesus was walking one day, and a lady screamed out from the crowd, says, blessed is the womb that gave birth to you. And it says, the pop that fed you. Jesus say, rather, blessed is he that heareth the will of God and doeth it. We are in a covenant with Jesus Christ. And that's why he says, many will come in that day and they'll say, have we not? He says, I never knew you, you workers of iniquity. You were working something that was contrary to what I wanted you to work. You were doing something that was contrary to what I wanted you to do. And because of that, we become not innocent before God. Praise the Lord. Says, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust of your ignorance. If I talk to you for any length of time, I will talk about the word, the necessity of the word. Says, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance. So there was a time that we did not know. And then there's a time that the word of the Lord is made plain, is made understood, is written, that you can read. So when we are holy, we are undefiled. When we are unholy, we are defiled. Now, if something is pure, for example, a new Christian, they don't know any better. They don't know any better. They're new. That's all they know. They're more like Israel when God took them out of Egypt. Took them out of Egypt, and he sets them in the wilderness, and then he says, I want you to come to the mountain of God, and then he gives them a law. Okay. From receiving that law, the person that was innocent is beginning to be no longer innocent, because they begin to break the law of God. They're no longer innocent. Well, you say, well, we break the law of God. Yes, we do. That's why the law of God says we have an advocate with the Father. And he says, if we confess, he's willing. But he says, if we live in sin, if we commit sin, if we're committing sin, we're a sinner. A person says, well, what's sin? Sin is any disobedience. Any disobedience makes us unholy. The enemy of our souls, he understands law. Satan operates by law. He knows who we are, and he knows who we should be. There are many things that happen in churches. A person wonder, well, where does that come from? How could somebody has a spirit husband? How could somebody have a spirit friend? Or just crazy stuff that are out of the way, that's just outlandish. Because Satan understands law. He understands law and order. He understands the order of God. For example, in the book of Zechariah, whenever Joshua, the high priest, Zechariah had a vision, and Joshua came before God. And the Bible says Satan came also. And he looks at Joshua, he says, you dirty. He says, you dirty, you don't qualify. Because he understood, according to the law of God, there's going to be a son born. His name was Joshua too. But this Joshua was not the Joshua. So when he looks at him, he says, he's dirty, he doesn't qualify. He can't take away their sins. So Satan understood the counsel of God. He understands the law of God. And there are laws in the spirit. There are laws in the spirit. When we are outside the law of God, we are under a different law. Because the moment God is not the leader, we lead. And when we lead, Satan is like an opportunist. Whenever we're leading, he understands. They can't fight me. The Bible says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're mighty through God to the pulling down of stronghold, casting down imagination and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. The knowledge of God is the word of God. He says, take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. It says, whereby you able to do all kinds of damage. That's the word of the Lord. Now, when we step outside of that, now what is our sword? What do we fight with? How do we obey God? Bible says, in your ignorance, back then in your lust, you could do all kinds of stuff. But the Bible is assuming that we're not in ignorance anymore, because the word is made plain. Peter said, we have a more sure word of prophecy whereby you take heed. You do well to take heed. Our purity is in how pure we are committed to him. Because we all know that we have fallen, we've faltered, we fail. David is a great example. God says, I'm going to raise the tabernacle of David in the last day. Well, David was not quite a pure person if you're looking at David himself. But if you're looking at the purity wherewith David followed God, it was the purity of his relationship with God. The purity that, Pastor Sapp used one of the scriptures, follow hard. He followed hard after God. He pursued God. He was wholly dedicated to the purpose of God. And when he faltered, he does the same thing again. He became wholly dedicated again. He doesn't stay there. He doesn't live there. And because of spiritual law, David had to lose his son after what he did with Bathsheba. I talk with people sometimes, and I listen to stories. And some stories are outlandish. Because sometimes we're taken captive. When we're outside of holiness, when we're outside, holiness is our border. The will of God is our border. And the Bible says they're taken by him, captive by him at his will. A person that's taken captive by the enemy is a person that's on the enemy's territory. And the enemy understands lawfully they're on my territory. And he takes them captive. We have war prisoners. Well, if we are a separate people, because we said at the beginning, God is separate. God is other. God is not like men. God is calling us to a different place. He's not like us at all. That's why the word holy for God, it means holy other, not holy different. He's holy other. He's not just different. He's just other. And what he does is he's calling us to that kind of place. He's calling us to that kind of height of life. He's calling us to an other way of living. Jesus said, you used to hear this way, but I tell you this. He says, you used to hear them say this, but I tell you this. And everything he says was totally other from what we would understand to be logical. He's not calling us to a different way of living, whereas we could still be the same a little bit, just a little different, just a little on the edge, and I can do some things, I can keep doing some things, I just can get by with it, and it's sickening sometimes because we're looking at what can I do, what can I not do, what can I do, what can I not do. Well, that's not the call we've been called for. We're not called for what I can do or what I can't do. We are called to follow Jesus. We're called to follow Jesus. And wherever that be, whatever that requires, there's got to be a disposition in our heart to do it. We got to be ready to do whatever it is. Paul said that. He said that he was going to Jerusalem, and then the Lord told him to go to Jerusalem. And people prophesied and says, bonds and afflictions, they abide you, they await you in Jerusalem. Paul said, I'm not just ready to be put in prison. He says, you don't understand, my disposition is, if death comes, I'm ready. He says, I'm ready to even die in Jerusalem, because his disposition is to follow God. And Jesus said, go to Jerusalem. And if he calls for Jerusalem, so let's just come down a little bit. Now, talking about this other way of living, we could just talk about, it's only 8:10, our own situations. Just think about things in your life that you're just kind of not willing to do. And think about the spirit of holiness. The spirit of holiness is more than what I will do, or what I put on or what I don't put on. It has all of that in there. But when you are dedicated for your life, nothing else matters. It's like, bring whatever you want. I have a disposition in my heart to live holy. Bring the long skirt, bring the long sleeve, bring the long, that's nothing. Because my life is in this. Bring whatever you want. I have a disposition in my heart to die for this. So whatever else comes, and that's where we become profile or profane and defile, is when we get revelation, we get understanding, and then we stop following him. It's when something you hear that you never heard before, or you didn't know before. Now that you know it, now what do we do? Are we going to be holy? Because holy means just pure. I'm just purely attached to him. But moment we begin not to do, what happens is we begin to compensate. We try to compensate. We're not innocent anymore. We're manipulating our way around the call of God. And God knows everything. We compensate this way because I'm not willing to do this thing. We compensate. Now, there's mercy in all of this. There's mercy. But what I don't want us to do is to sit thinking that we could manipulate God. Because Jesus is coming back, and it's gonna be a terrible day. Sometimes I sit and I think to myself, am I in this thing or am I not? Am I in this thing or am I not? Holiness means to be holy, dedicated. Paul spoke to Timothy. He says, no soldier that is enlisted gets entangled with the things of this world. Well, holiness means to be consecrated to the purpose of God. No soldier gets entangled when he's enlisted because he's called out. He's called out. He enlisted. He signed for it. And that's what happens. That's why when we go in the water of baptism, what we're saying is, you are my Lord. I'm going to follow you. Wherever you go, I'm going to follow you. Whatever you ask me to do. That's the blood thing that Moses sprinkled over them. He sprinkled the blood. We say that, you know, the blood is in the water. He sprinkled them with the blood. And they say, we're going to follow you. It says, lest there be any profane person. It says, follow peace with all men. We said that God was pure. The scripture says in the book of Matthew, it says, in the Beatitudes, it says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. That's not an easy thing. We were doing class this week. We were talking about personal relationships, and I was asking the students, what do they think, you know, to just name some things that are considered as roadblocks to us having the God-ordained relationship. And it was easy. Offenses, people just treating you wrong, people saying the wrong thing. Well, it's easy to love, to say we love God because God doesn't hurt us. God doesn't do anything to us. But the scripture says, follow peace with all men. How do we maintain a pure heart in a world where things want to deposit in your heart? Satan want to deposit stuff in your heart. How do you maintain a pure heart? And the Bible says to have a pure heart. Or else we can't see God. How do we maintain a life that is holy, that is other? That's the other dimension. To be pure in a place where everything seems like, and then sometimes we develop a disposition not to trust people, period. Because we feel like everybody's out to get me. Everybody's out for my money. Everybody's out to do this and to do that. And therefore, we begin to live that way. We're not pure anymore. Our heart is not pure toward the next person. When we see them, there's a disposition in our mind. This person is not right. This person is out to get me. They're about to do something wrong to me. That's why people are scared of people. Because our heart is not pure. Now, you could take a little kid and you put them with a pedophile and they play together. Because the little kid is pure. Their heart is pure. Their heart is innocent. The Bible says, blessed are the pure in heart. Because they don't judge people. Little kid, their heart is pure. They like somebody who never was hurt before. And they have this ability after you beat them and they'll come to you and give you a hug again. Because their heart is pure.
And the Bible says, blessed are the pure in heart. Because what God is calling us to do is to be other. It's to be other, not just compare ourselves with what the world does and say, you know, at least I'm better. But he's calling us to a walk that is totally other, not different, but totally, totally unlike it. Blessed are the pure in heart. It says, lest there be any fornicator. A fornicator tries to enjoy the pleasures outside of the law. The New Testament that we call New Testament, it's, if you translate it in French or in Creole, it's a new contract. It's a new contract. It's a contract that we actually enter in with the Lord. And Peter here, he's admonishing the people. He's exhorting them so that they don't miss it. He says, as it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Be ye other in your pursuit. Be other in your dreams. Be other in the things that you desire in life. Be other. If our desires be defiled, if it defiles us, the Bible says a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. If you are disobeying God purposefully, and if you know that you're disobeying God, the scripture says you're not following after God. Because he says, you turn from following me. Turn from following me. So holiness is our character. Bible says, no man has seen the Father at any time, but the only begotten who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. People knew miracle before Jesus. There, people were raised from the dead before Jesus. Many things were done before Jesus. Miracles are not just in New Testament. They happen in Old Testament. But the only thing they never saw was a pure human being. The only thing they never saw was a human being who hung on a cross and said, you know what? I don't have a grudge against the people that just did that to me. I have no grudge. He was ready to save them. He was ready to deliver them. All they needed was to call upon the name of the Lord. And he's ready. So I guess... what I want to leave you with today is just a constant asking ourselves. The Bible says, examine yourselves to see if you be in the faith. It says, do you not know yourselves? Judge ourselves and to see, am I following God or what am I following? Because consecration calls me to follow God. And whatever else I'm following, passion, pride, what makes me look good before people, what people like, what people talk about. If we're following any of these things, we need to wonder, am I following God? And if we falter, let's get back on the road. Let's get back on the road and follow God again. The thing is, let God be the thing that burns within us. Let that be the passion of our everyday. Because we want to see God. I want to see God. I want to see God. I want to see God. Bible says, follow peace with all men. Fix your relationships with people. Fix relationship with people, because that's where grudges come from. That's where offenses and unforgiveness and all these things. The Bible says, lest there be any root of bitterness springing up and it spoil you, and many be defile. It troubles you, and many people become defiled. If we defile, we're not holy. Purity of heart is other. Purity of spirit is other. Purity of your body is other. Purity in all sorts of ways is holy. It's innocent. It's pure. And that's the life that God is calling us to walk. So I encourage you, do think about your life every day. And think about, how can I pursue God? How can I pursue God? If you don't know, if you don't hear the voice of God, well, we got a more sure word of prophecy. You don't have to hear something from God. We have a more sure word, the Bible says, of prophecy, wherein we do well. Jesus said, I don't judge you. He He says, I don't judge any of you. He says, the words that I speak, they will be your judge. So all we got to do is do this thing. You can come. And then we'll be all right because we want to keep following Jesus all the way to the very end, because at the end, who wants to see God? I want to see God. I want to see God. I want to go in. Praise God.
I think we need to take just a few minutes and really get a hold of this word. Amen. This is a word that is so direct to our hearts. Amen. So let's just take a few moments and respond to God. Amen. Let's take it personal. Amen. I want to take this word personal, that this is the word of God that is directed to my heart and to my life. Amen. The Bible says we're not called to uncleanness, but we're called to holiness. Amen. And if you notice the life that Jesus lived, he didn't do it to be holy. The life that he lived was a result of his holiness. Amen. We just saw him live a life that reflected his holy nature. Amen. God, we need you tonight. Let's all stand together and just reach out to the Lord. Thank you so much for this word. Hallelujah. Because we can kind of just clothe ourselves.